Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over. It's over.
Here's a chance. That goal. Shot. Rebound. Score. Jesus Christ. We're about ready to light the candle on the family. Still hanging around, man. Have you managed to clear out your holiday hangers-on?
Yeah, it stretches long, man.
Honest to God.
I love them all.
Yeah.
I love them all, though.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't like some of them very much, though. That's the difference. This is Tall Can Sports. Hope everybody's having a terrific holiday season. But we're just into the shit now where it's cleaning up, it's leftovers, it's people who stayed just one night too long after coming in to visit. We appreciate you jumping in with us. What's happening today, man?
I'm loving it. To me, this is fantastic this time of year.
Buried me here.
Yeah. Oh, that's all right.
Sorry, extended Robinson.
I've seen your family and I agree. They can grow tiresome.
Anybody's family.
Yeah, really, it's the truth. It's the truth. I spend a pile of time with in-laws.
Yeah.
And they are fantastic people. I love them all.
Did not turn me into an outlaw.
Yeah. They are all, you know, salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Assaulted to the earth.
And they love me.
Oh. Well, that's the difference.
Yeah. Clearly. Oh.
Sorry. Terrible about that. All over the place. Just unsatisfying both sides of the table.
Well, and I'm not happy with the lack of...
Yeah, that's what I mean. No crispness.
If I was to pour this, there would be no head on it.
No. There's a little overrun.
Yes, so...
What are we sipping on?
This is the Bear Runner Blonde Ale from New Ontario Brewing Company out of Parts Unknown.
The Barely Run It.
Oof. Yes. Somewhere in southern Manitoba, I think.
It's not that good. Yeah. This isn't
well, and you know what?
So there's your review.
It's got a bit of that, you know, sometimes when you take a pull on a craft and it has that sort of slightly chemical-y taste thing that sort of goes, I've got that.
Every bit of that was coming out just from cracking the fucking thing.
Okay.
This is where you get, right? This point in the holidays. A lot of the liquor stores, beer stores have been closed off and on. This is all that's left in the fucking fridge. Harold brought this over.
Yeah, we had
Frank,
to roll
you're
the,
good shit.
Lefties. We had to roll the rummy who was leaving with a quarter short on his four Bear Runners. I don't know where this is from. I'm not sure what the deal is. But
New Ontario. I'd like to stay in the old Ontario.
It's not. Yeah, you're right. It's not good. It's somewhere up by Pencil Lake. I'm almost positive.
We thought... you know, as opposed to so many times, and we'll probably still lazily do this too, but end of the year kind of things, year in review kind of things. This is the end of a decade.
Oh, it's 10 years, 10 fantastic years. Unbelievable.
It's been 10 years anyway. We thought we might take a little look back from Rob's perspective, from my perspective on our own teams, and maybe a couple other things from around the world of sports, but we might as well kick it off with the All Senators line. And we're going to do the All Leafs line here in a little. Now, I did send this to you fairly loosely. You know, how many games do you actually have to play?
It's interesting.
What is, you know, in the last decade, do I get to say that Brian Leetch is an all-decade Leaf? Right? For his 30 games in Toronto or what? Are these the kind of... How many do you have to play? But we left it very loose.
Yeah.
Whatever you thought fit as the best one goalie, two defenders, three forwards for the Ottawa Senators, and I have the same for the Maple Leafs. Let's kick it off with the Sens.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've For this, I've thankfully leaned quite heavily on the research already done by Chris Stevenson in The Athletic.
Yeah, as I've done with some of the Toronto writers in The Athletic.
So he did a full roster.
Yeah.
He did four lines, three sets of D, and two goalies.
Right.
I disagree with some of his.
Sure.
Which is...
Well, we're optimistic. We can say... Pretty sure Chris Stevenson will be the next guest in the TCA studios. So maybe we can even pick this a little bit. Now, we haven't nailed down exactly when, so we don't want to get to, but he has said he'd be happy to come in and chat a little bit. So that could be something interesting to get into
Long-time Ottawa area sports writer.
Right.
Pretty varied career. He's done a little writing for NHL.com. He does a little writing for Flagstick, I think.
And he was a launch day guy when they finally got, you know, they wanted to get in. Toronto was one of the launch points for The Athletic in terms of the hockey coverage, and it quickly spread across Canada. And when they got into Ottawa, Chris Stevenson, a day one guy, right, that helped them get up and running and have some credibility in this market.
Yeah, longtime Ottawa Sun writer as well. He and I go way back. I'll be interested to chat with him about that.
Oh, okay. Stick around for that here in 2020.
So, yes, there were some things that I found interesting. I think the Senators team, as listed, is pretty fairly, you know, representative of a pretty average decade.
Right.
For this team. It's.
I'm surprised to hear you say that. Because in theory, what we're going to do, right, compile it down to one line, everybody should be able to have a killer.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about Ottawa.
Yeah. Not so much,
who's centering,
right?
That line. Who's,
well, see, this
we'll
is,
get to that, I guess.
And when I looked at it, in the criteria that you brought up is interesting because there's not one name that I could come up with that had played more than 400 and change in terms of games in the decade.
Right.
And you are talking about 800 games.
Yeah, there's been a ton of turnover.
Right, 820 games-ish in a full 10 year span, right?
Yeah.
So I don't have anybody on this list that's played more than 400 games. Chris Stevenson had Brady Tkachuk on his second line.
Yeah, see, yeah.
That's a guy who's
so
not...
So this is his second year in the league?
Yep.
Yeah, and see, this is where, and we're going to stick with the sense, I wrestled with John Tavares. He's one season and 30 games... into his Toronto tenure.
In excess of 100 points, right?
Yeah, but, you know, same tenure as Brady Tkachuk.
See, I don't have Brady Tkachuk, obviously.
No, I understand.
On mine, but, and I feel like it's still too small of a sample, even if he was, no.
Yeah, he's not yet John Tavares.
Right.
Yeah.
And let's scratch that because we'll start in the back end and work our way out.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. It's an absolute no-brainer that it's Craig Anderson, right?
Yeah.
So he has over 400 starts. The next highest guy has 55, right?
This was pretty easy.
And so...
When did he arrive? Because it's been, 2011?
Yeah, late in the 10-11 season.
I remember his first start with Ottawa was against Toronto.
1-0 shutout?
Just shut us right the fuck down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, and that's the year that he took us. Oh, maybe that was even later than that. No, that'd be right. The 11 season. Because he took us out of a, you know, top one or two draft picks right into a 5, 6, or 7 spot where we ended up taking Zibanejad.
Classic Leaf move, man. Get out of the good draft.
Yep. Flip. Well, because then the next guy closest to him and starts is Brian Elliott, who we flipped for him.
Right.
But so in that,
probably that season he had 55.
Well, and if you look at the Sens franchise and we talk about mediocrity, which is what this decade was, they went, and I was surprised to see they were above 500 for the decade.
Oh, I think everybody is. Three shootout losses in here.
Well, just in terms of straight wins, 361, 330. Right. So,
yeah, all right. Yeah.
They made the playoffs just about every second year, right?
Yep.
They won 3 playoff rounds, so more than the Leafs, for sure.
Way more. To the Leafs, 0.
Yeah, exactly. So Anderson in net, sorry about that, Anderson in net posted a pretty solid 915.
Yeah.
280. Again, as I said, backstopped them to the playoffs a bunch of times.
A conference final?
Yep. And
within
so,
overtime in a game seven of a cup final?
And was super clutchy in a lot of those games. Like, he was, and you know as well as anybody knows, that the numbers, the analytics behind that 2017 run were all Craig Anderson, right?
Yep.
The possession numbers, the shots, all these
all
things.
All of that said, this is not sustainable.
Right.
This guy's keeping them afloat.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he's a no-brainer in net, right? And I don't even have – I think I'm going with Andrew Hammond as a backup if I had
so
to.
So I was just
going
to ask you, because when we clarified this, you and I said 1G, 2D, 3F. If we had to throw a backup in, is it – I know Hammond had one spring and then that was about it.
Well, because other than that, it's – yeah, they're
Nilsson.
Yeah.
Like right now, he's played pretty well.
I'm going with Hogberg. Like what he did about a week ago. That was pretty solid.
Mike Condon.
No, it is that 23, 3, and 3 run that Andrew Hammond had.
I guess.
Right? When you just sort of say, psh, but there's been so few other goalies in this decade.
Yeah, and anything I say here is going to come off as condescending, but believe me, we're going to get to the Leaf defense and it's going to come back in full. Like, there's nothing else that the Senators have had in goal has been any good for, but it hasn't had to be. You had this one workhorse. And the only reason I bring up Condon is because of that one year where Craig Anderson's wife was sick.
Yeah.
He stepped away from, and Condon was very good. I don't know record versus Hammond's record, but.
I think that's 2017. I think that's the same.
That sounds right.
And, to say, they don't make it in the playoffs without him.
He played fantastic, but I don't have his record or his numbers or
right.
Whatever. But those are what we're talking about, these short spurt kind of.
Yeah, a season and a half kind of guys, right? And that's all it's been in terms of the rotating cast behind the Mike McKennas, the Mike Brodeurs, all these sorts of guys, right? As you continue to.
Yeah. We got the wrong Brodeur. Maybe not in this decade. Maybe it was all right. We look at the Ottawa defense. I think one name's going to be pretty obvious.
It's very simple, very two-time Norris Trophy winner Erik Karlsson.
Yeah.
On the right side, it's a no-brainer. I think he's on just about every other team's all-decade team, and that's a little foreshadowing. I believe he was on the NHL's all-decade team.
League-wide,
which we will discuss maybe at the end in wrapping this up. We'll compare these two illustrious squads that we're going to trot out with the Athletics releasing of their 2010s all-decade NHL team. Karlsson, I don't know what more to say, right, in terms of the two Norrises. And that 2017 Cup Conference final run, he was unbelievable.
Well, and we sat here on the show and talked about, is he now a top three player in the world, right?
It was being bandied about everywhere.
Yes, it was. And legitimately, because he was that good, despite, I think, even playing injured at that time. So,
yeah. Now, and as it turns out, I don't think he's been...
He may have dodged a bullet.
Close to the same, yeah. And we've talked about that a number of occasions here, but...
Before you give us the second defenseman, because to me that's where the suspense lies...
Sure.
Is Erik Karlsson's time in Ottawa, you know, we had the forensics investigation on the...
On Matt Cook?
Right. The slight... Did we get everything out of Erik Karlsson? Like, how much do you think we missed out on Erik Karlsson? Or did we see pretty much as good as he was? Because he did have some injury troubles.
Yeah.
Did we get most of what we should have, or...
Well, I think the star shone fairly bright in this 10 year period.
Yeah.
I'm really curious.
Because he was on that 2008 World Junior Swedish team, right?
So the 09 team here.
09, yeah. So he would have debuted in 10 or 11. Like, he was here almost the entire decade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he and Victor Hedman were the duo in 09 here for the Swedes.
Right.
Who got absolutely lambasted in the gold medal game, I think 6-1.
It's true.
But yeah, that's a stud defensive pairing right there.
For sure.
And that is, again, doubling back to the World Junior show of a couple of days ago.
Yep.
That's what you love to see, right? We talked about the Kuznetsov, Panarin, Tarasenko.
Well, Hedman was getting all the talk at that tournament. No one who, maybe I'm being unreasonable, maybe people in Ottawa did. But no one expected Erik Karlsson to be, at that time, what Erik Karlsson became. Hedman got all the headlines.
Well, we were super interested in Rundblad, who was also, sure. I believe, on that team, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was, and Peterson was also a Senators draft pick on that team. And so...
I don't even remember that fucking guy.
Yeah, well, no, neither do I.
Nobody does.
Because there's nothing has happened from that,
sure,
right?
Sure, yeah.
But it is one of those things where you sort of go, that guy jumped... I remember Melnick at the end of the tournament saying, we wish we could have P.K. Subban, who was on the Canadian team. And you're like... Yeah, but
he's on our division rival. Fuck you.
We got that guy, right?
Yeah, you know? No, for sure.
And now, granted, P.K. was playing on the Canadian gold medal winning team. Sure. And they
went head-to-head for years.
And he was a toast of... He was a toast here of the town.
Sure.
Karlsson, though, turned out to be the better...
Yep.
And so I think we've got as good as it's going to get.
Right.
I'm not sure I'm answering your question. Could he have done better had he not had the Achilles injury?
Like, what was his ceiling? Did we at least get close to it?
I think we got close because it's one of those things where you look at how good he was in spurts.
Yeah.
Point of game defenseman.
Yeah. You don't see that every day.
Those are hard to come by.
For sure.
Who
is his all-decade partner?
Yeah, well, it's a great question, Matt. and I struggle with it in terms of I'm going with Thomas Chabot.
Wow. So he's a year and a half?
He's 126 games in.
Okay, yeah.
So he is almost two full years.
Yep.
If you look at in the Chris Stevenson article, Chris Stevenson had him on the third pairing, left D.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure he even is a lefty. He had Mark Methot in the one hole and Chris Phillips in the two hole, right? In terms of D-men, both those guys played almost 400
in terms
games.
Of pairings, not in terms of,
no, they both,
where's Karlsson?
Karlsson's a right D.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
And so Methot opposite Karlsson, as he did in the actual, then Phillips behind Methot, and then Chabot behind. And so I look at in terms of if you want to go.
Where's the Gaunch?
Gaunch is on the other side on the second line. Chris Stevenson had Cody Ceci.
Oh, okay. Glad Chris Stevenson. Come right for the Leafs.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next.
We will.
But yeah, Chabot has already, in one quarter of the games, equaled the point total of Methot and Phillips.
At different types of game, but still impressive.
Completely different types of games.
Yep.
And he is. His star will shine. And this isn't a 2020s.
Well, this is it, right? As we look forward to the next decade, absolutely right now would lock Chabot into one of those.
But in parts of three seasons, because it has been thin, and as we said, fairly mediocre. Like Chris Stevenson had honorable mentions to Boro.
Right.
Yeah, like I don't know, I disagree with that wholeheartedly, sure. Right, in terms of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm putting Chabot up. It's going to be Karlsson and Chabot. Now, maybe a bit of a fire drill in your own end.
Sure.
And two guys wanting to just both have the puck. Right, because honestly, the beauty is, and for those who don't get to see Chabot all the time, and we referenced in the last show about him playing 37 minutes and 48 seconds or whatever it was, not good, not advisable.
Especially if you're in a tank season.
Yeah.
What are you trying to do here?
Well, you don't like your five and six options at that point,
you
right?
Sure don't.
Cody Golubev, sorry to the Golubev family.
Yeah.
And Andreas Englund, who
that's
apparently
an Olympian.
You should
settle down.
Yeah, exactly. Show some respect, you dirty Ottawa sweat hog. But he's an easy skater. Honestly, the game just, you know, he's smooth as silk, that guy.
Right.
And so I've opted, controversial as it may be, with only 140 games or whatever it is.
Yep.
I'm putting him in the all-decade team.
Well, I mean, if that's what you have, and like, we'll get to the Leafs D, but I get it, right? Let's move up front, because there's a couple of interesting options here. Some really solid wingers. You can save it if you want, build some suspense. I'm most curious about who's playing the middle on the All Sens.
Oh, it's fairly easy.
Decade team.
It's fairly easy.
Yeah. I don't remember when the obvious guy left here. So
yeah,
I'm
going with Spez.
Yeah.
Spez played the first. He played almost 400 games in this decade.
Okay.
Wow. And a legit number,
like
number one center. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And
for sure legit.
Yeah, because he took the captaincy from Alfredson, who left in the 2013 season.
Right. That's okay. Yeah.
So you are looking at four seasons of Spez.
Yep.
And so he had sort of, when he left, he was actually, I think, at his apex, right? In terms of him as a player.
You really liked that signing in Dallas when you, or was it a trade?
They traded him in his last sort of.
Right.
He was a training camp trade like Carlson in his last year.
And so you kind of look at that, like so many of them going, right now, this could be really good for Dallas. Long term, not, but.
And see, the return is unbelievable, right?
Well, hit me, because I obviously don't remember.
Alex Guptill.
Oh.
Don't forget about that guy.
Antoine Roussel.
No. Alex Chiasson, right?
Yeah.
Who's now scoring a handful of goals. And Nick Paul.
Yeah, all right.
And some other guy.
Yeah.
A draft pick that turned into something else that is now gone to some other franchise. Gabriel something or other.
Yeah.
So Nick Paul is actually the last piece.
And just finally cracking his way in here this season.
And he is just going to be a great third line guy.
Yep.
Big guy, skates really well in a straight line.
So Spez in Ottawa. Most people remember as far back as
Spez
like that 06, 07. He's got Alfie on one side. He's got Heatley on the other. And probably for at least 2 years, maybe the best line in the league.
The pizza line, right? They had that pizza thing that said if you scored 5 goals a game, you get a free slice of pizza with your ticket stub.
Can't believe you expected the rest of the nation to know about that promotion.
No. And then they had to change it to 6 goals because those guys
kept killing it.
Were just lighting it up. And somebody in the Pizza head office is like, hey,
enough.
Can we like bump it up to like 6 or 7 goals? Because these guys are crushing us. And so, yeah, that was a killer line.
For sure it was.
So, yeah, Spez, by the time he left here, I think he was at the height and just diminishing from there.
Yeah, until he got to Toronto.
Yeah, now he's lighting it up. Look at him go.
Almost a point of, yeah.
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 So, to me, that's a...
All right.
That's a no-brainer.
He was here longer than I thought in this decade.
Yeah, and behind that, you have honorable mentions to...
Turris.
Duchesne and Turris.
Yeah, the only other options.
Right, really in terms of guys who were...
Who hindsight being what it is, looks like the Sens bailed out on both of those. Well, just in time.
And you look at Brassard in terms of the Sens flipping him out at the right time, and there's a lot of good things there. Now,
some of
was
accidental.
It dumb? Yeah, I was just going to say, was it dumb luck? Yeah, probably.
But there's some contracts out there now. You're going, glad those aren't mine.
Well, because Poile would love to get rid of that.
Yeah, both maybe.
Both, and they just came through here last week.
Right,
and. Man, you got 7 more years on Duchesne.
Fuck.
And again, and you were first on this in terms of this podcast about how the post 30 guys.
Yeah.
The 30 is the 30
it's
is the
new 40.
Man, it's the breaking point, right? Yep. In terms of the game is
don't
so fast
it.
Now.
Don't sign that.
Those big contracts to guys in their 28, 29, 30 years, right? And Turris was great here. Clutch.
Yeah.
Super
for
clutch.
Sure. Popular in the market. Really good player.
Yeah. Flipped him out at the right time. And for Duchesne, actually.
Yeah.
And.
Do not commit.
So that's my centerpiece, right?
Okay. Yeah. One wing, I think, is pretty obvious.
Yeah. Who do you got, Matt?
I got Mark Stone.
Yeah. And he plays the same side as Alfie does, right?
Mm-hmm.
But.
Alfie was kind of.
This is not Alfie's decade.
Right.
Right. And so
maybe the previous two.
It is absolutely Mark Stone on that side. And to me, he just came in. That's a guy who we talked about his great World Junior on the World Junior show, where he could always shoot the puck. He's super smart, right? He is, you know, he's at that Datsuk level in terms of puck
the
thievery.
Takeaways, yeah.
Yeah. Like he is so good, so smart. And he's one of those guys, you look at the contract, he signed with Vegas, which again, as a guy who doesn't, he's not a great skater. Now his skating coming out of Brandon was terrible, yep. right? Which yep. is what made him drop to a fifth or a sixth round pick.
Yep.
But he worked on it super diligently. And he's now a average to slightly just above get to average.
Yeah.
Now that's going to go on him. He's another guy, 27, sure. 28, but he is so smart. I think he's going to be one of those guys who's going to be able to.
Yeah, positionally sound, knows where to be, knows what to do.
Where the puck's going, yep. just slightly ahead of the play.
Yep.
Just good.
I
just
think that contract will age well for Vegas. I know, when the skaters, those are the ones that you worry about. I think he's just smart enough. Like, I think he's going to be all right.
Well, and he's one of those guys which goes against the grain in terms of dictating plays from the middle.
Right.
He's one of those guys that whatever line he's on is the best line going.
Yeah.
Right. He is a guy as a winger who's able to drive play.
Well, man, I remember early November, Vegas rolling through Toronto. And last year, the big line, almost unexpectedly, of course, was, well, 2 years ago, William Karlsson.
Marchessault.
Yeah, and Smith.
And Smith.
And then all of a sudden, oh, look, here's Paul Stastny, Max Pacioretty, and Mark Stone. You go, that's a first line on how many different teams in the fucking league, right?
Yeah.
This expansion team, like they brought in a whole, they would have pushed that Karlsson line to line two. And, you know, it's just fucked to watch for me as a Leaf guy. Here's this Sens guy and this Habs guy that are now just killing it together, right? Like, fuck yep. you.
Yep. And their dad is a former Nordique.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, love that guy.
Whatever that
love
is.
Love that guy.
Yeah. Third F.
Yeah. Third F. It's hard. It's hard. But I've gone with Mike Hoffman.
Okay.
The Hoff.
Hide your wives.
Yeah, well, okay, exactly. Keep them separate. How about don't let them come to the arena?
Right.
I don't like it. I sort of hold my nose. But you can't dismiss, you know, his 3+ mid-20 goal seasons.
Yep.
That goal he scored, the Karlsson alley-oop one.
Oh, fuck.
Where he gave him the little Forsberg at yep. the end, gave her ask the business at the end. And
the high pass, yeah, that's unreal, man.
And so he was...
Seems like forever ago, fuck.
And he, for sure it does. And he was a legit, you know, in the... Now, don't get crazy. in that sort of Kucherov off that same side,
yep.
that one-timer on the power play.
On the power play is what I was going to say. Yeah, he scared you on the power play.
Right, and because his shot was so good, right? Now, the downfalls and the warts on that guy was... He had an 80-foot game.
Yes.
Right, and that there's
I'll be over here if anyone can lob a 150-foot
pass. Yeah, well, and so as great as that clip is, there yeah. was a clip of McDavid just walking him. Like, and he's like, it's like he's standing there with his hands in his pockets. Like, could you not, like, swing your stick or something? And I get it. McDavid's good.
Of course.
Like, all world good. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that you can't even, like, lunge... Or anything, he just like, hey, have a good trip. You know, it's like, that's the words
oh,
on him.
Oh, shit, he's behind me.
And we led the league in too many men on the ice because he wouldn't hustle back for line changes and shit. Like, there was lots about it that aggravated him. But, you know, he led the league every year in posts hit.
Right.
Like, honestly, that guy, he just hit iron like nobody's business.
Right.
But because he had a crazy release.
Yeah.
So as much as I don't love it, right? Hoffman's my guy. That is
honorable mentions on the wings. Was that like Alfie was kind of
Alfie? But, yeah. Well, see, Alfie to me though, he still played three at least full seasons.
Okay, but he wasn't the same guy.
He wasn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't a guy who also should get honorable mention is Milan Mikolic.
Yeah, Marley's great.
In terms of the years here,
yeah, yep.
He was awesome two-way player.
Yes.
He had a couple of 30-goal seasons here in this decade.
And he was like, you know, we joked about it. I don't even remember how the fuck. Was he part of the Phaneuf deal that he ended up in Toronto?
Yes.
Yeah. And Babcock loved him, right? Wanted him playing with all those rookies, right? With our young guys, because he's a two-way guy.
For sure.
He just wasn't healthy enough. Like, he just couldn't. By that time, he was, I don't know.
Skating on no knees.
Right. So.
Yeah, which is what it was like when he came to Ottawa, right? He was, his knees were already broken down.
Right.
But he was.
Where was he? Oh, he was San Jose.
San Jose. He came in the Heatley trade.
Okay.
He was the backup piece to Jonathan Chichu. Yes, exactly. So yeah, to me, those are the two,
right?
The two big ones right away.
What's going on, everybody? Matt here, just interrupting the show briefly. This is where we're going to wrap this one up. We'll level with you. This was originally going to go out as one big long episode, but we're sitting here, kind of middle of the holidays, and we don't know when we're going to be getting back together. So we've decided to split this one up and get some stuff out to you a little quicker if we can, and a little more often. As we know, lots of shows have taken the weeks off here, so we want to make sure we're putting out stuff for you pretty regularly. So we're going to cut this one here at the end of the All-Decade Senators team, and we will join you again in a couple of days for the All-Decade Leafs team, and of course the All-Decade NHL team coming up. Now, Rob and I will be getting back together before the holiday season is over, but we just decided, since we don't know exactly when that's going to be yet, we would just take this opportunity to start dropping these maybe a little more often, so that there's stuff coming at you all the time here through the holidays, and you can kind of pick and choose which parts you want to hear. So hope you're having a great holiday season thus far, and we'll wrap this one up here, and we'll be back with you probably in 2 days or so with the All-Decade Maple Leafs team. It's been such a glorious decade for the Leafs. You can imagine just how fantastic that's going to be. Lovely experience for me, no doubt. We'll see you in a couple days.
We're not going to be fucking sunk this year! Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.